you to the Talberts. What a great song tonight. And I love that that people are singing these songs about prayer, especially with our theme for this year. And I want to give you tonight something in line with the thought of prayer. It won't be exclusively focused on it this evening, but tonight will be just a little bit different in how we approach the sermon. And so watch with me as we read, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to see us go to Genesis 24, verse 27, and find that with me if you would for just a moment. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, after we read this text, if you would take a bulletin or a piece of paper or a bookmark and put that in this particular passage of Scripture. We're going to go to several others, but I want you to have this one marked because we're going to come back to it at the end. The background of the passage is an interesting passage of Scripture, and I'm sure that many of you have heard of this passage of Scripture. You've probably read the passage of Scripture. But this is the story of Abraham as he sends his servant to find for his son a wife. His servant, Abraham's servant, is going to pick out Isaac's wife. Now, let me ask the young people in the room, how many of you are glad we don't do it that way anymore? I mean, that's interesting, it's different, but maybe we could, I don't know, it just depends, but it's different, I understand, but you have to understand in those days it was different, and so don't get hung up on that tonight. But Abraham sends his servant to go and find a wife for his son Isaac, and as the servant goes out, he has a request for God. He asked the Lord, Lord, I want you to show me who it is. And that whole process we'll talk about a little bit later. And finally, out comes the woman who God has sent for the servant to bring home for Isaac. And the Bible says his response is found in verse 27. And he says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Notice what he says here. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Notice that phrase again. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to see from your word that which you'd have us to know. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us this evening what we can know from your word to help us in matters, whether they be monumental issues of life that we need direction from you and we need clarity from you on how to proceed. Or perhaps even the trivial and small things, the things that we would say are not the big deals of life, not the big issues of life, but yet, Lord, we still need to seek your face for those things, and we need your wisdom in all of those things. And I pray, Lord, that the message tonight would be a help to somebody, and that it would be a practical thing, it'd be a set of principles that we can take home with us tonight, applying to our lives, that we might better please you with our decisions. Lord, the Bible tells us the only way we can please you is by faith. And I believe that if applied by faith, these principles can change our life. And I pray that you'd help us to realize that this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. When Cheryl and I got married, immediately after we got married, and we came back to Santa Clara, California, where my wife was going to finish her last semester of Bible college. She was training there, and I had graduated the May prior to our wedding. As we made our way back there, we found ourselves living in a small studio apartment in San Jose, California. This little apartment was on a street. I remembered it today as I was thinking of the illustration. It was Boynton Drive. It's hard to spell, but Boynton Drive is right around the corner from some of you who, by the way, know where I'm talking about, right around the corner from Valley Fair Mall. And right off of Stevens Creek Boulevard, you went past the mall there, past the shopping complex, and I don't know what I was doing as a newlywed moving within close proximity to a mall. I have no idea what kind of decision that was, but that was the place we needed to be. And I remember very specifically something about that place. We only lived there for about 6 months, and it was great. It was awesome. The Lord blessed us while we were there, but I was working about, just as many hours a day as I could work, and my wife would go to school, and she'd get there at student teaching at about 7:30 in the morning, and she'd get done about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then she would go to do her job. She'd take the car with her, then she'd come back, and she'd pick me up, and we'd go home. And from 7 o'clock in the morning till about 7:30 at night, we were away from that apartment. But it was probably about 6 miles between the apartment and the church and the college where we attended church and worked and went to school. And you had to go out of the street, and you had to go up the street and hit Stevens Creek Boulevard. Then you had to make a right-hand turn. And then you would hit San Tomas Expressway. San Tomas Expressway turned into the Montague Expressway. Brother Chambers, Mrs. Chambers, you know exactly where I'm talking about right now, okay? And you would hit that, and between Stevens Creek Boulevard, where was that main strip with all of the shopping complexes and everything on it, and then De La Cruz Boulevard. We're out in California. I know these street names are a little bit different to us around here. I mean, we have normal street names like Reinhardt, so I mean, it should be fine, okay? But you go all the way from Stevens Creek and San Tomas and Montague, it turns into Montague, and then you would turn right on De La Cruz Boulevard, and there would be the church, and there would be the college. Between that particular spot, Stevens Creek, and De La Cruz Boulevard, we were on one stretch of expressway. And between that point, there were, if I remember correctly, and my wife may be able to correct me, I should have clarified before, but I believe, Cheryl, there were 9 stoplights. Do you remember if that's about right? That's close enough, right? And here's the point I'm getting to today. There was, in that time, if we got out of the door in the morning and we got on to San Tomas Expressway, and we headed in the right direction, and we went down through all of those stoplights, there was a window. There was just you had to hit it just right. And if you did that, every one of those stoplights was a green light. It's the little things of life, folks. That's all I'm saying. I'm telling you, we would get there, and it was the difference, by the way. It was the difference between a 15-minute journey, 6 miles, 15 minutes in California traffic. It was the difference between 15 minutes, or I think my best time was 7 minutes and 30-some seconds. I'm telling you, you could cut so much time off of the journey when all of the lights were green. Well, in this passage of Scripture and in others as well we're going to turn to tonight, and I promise you that I won't make it a habit of approaching my text in this way or approaching the sermons in this way. We are going to bounce around quite a bit, but it'll all be biblical. It'll all be on point, I'll guarantee it. It's going to be more of a principled thought tonight. I want to give you some thoughts this evening about when you're making your decisions in life. And by the way, that could be everything from our young people deciding on what the next steps of their life may be, as to their relationships, as to their education, as to their vocation. All of those different things are important. It could be the daily things. It could be what we talked about this morning, looking to God and saying, God, help me today to be filled with your Spirit that I might walk in such a way as to please you by faith in this day. And God, lead me across the path of someone today whose life I can influence for the gospel. It could be anything from the grand decisions of life to the little trivial things that many times we don't even bother to pray about. We need to have, if we are believers and we truly understand what God's Word teaches about this, we need to have God's wisdom in every decision that we make. Can you say amen to that tonight? We need to have God's wisdom in every decision we make. And the best thing that you can do is to develop in your life and your spiritual walk, your Christian walk, an understanding of what it looks like for God to give you a green light. An understanding of what it looks like for God to say, okay, you've been seeking my face. You have been looking for wisdom. You've been asking me what you should do. I want to show you how to do that. George Mueller was a man who was known primarily for his prayer life. He operated the orphanages. If you've ever studied his life, he recorded over 30,000 answers to prayer. Those were just the recorded ones. They estimate that there were probably, I think, somewhere around 40,000 or 50,000. It sounds just amazing to be able to even guesstimate answers to prayer by tens of thousands. But that is the world that this man lived in. He would pray and things would happen. He would pray and God would answer his prayers. The stories of the orphans that were there would be such that they would be sitting at the table with no food on their plate, no food in the orphanage, and all they could do was sit and listen to George Mueller pray, and suddenly there'd be a knock at the door and a milk truck or a milk wagon would break down outside of the orphanage, or a dairy wagon would break down outside. Dairy and milk are the same thing. You know what I'm talking about tonight. The breakdown right outside there, or somebody would come by and anonymously leave all kinds of produce and food, and they would stand, and George Mueller would say, God has answered our prayer, and they would eat that day. I don't know if we can even, in the world that we live in, I don't know if we can even fathom what it would be like to live by faith the way that George Mueller lived by faith. George Mueller was a man who knew the heart of God. He knew how to get the attention of the Almighty. He was a man that we can look to, though human and imperfect as he may be. He was a man that can be an inspiration to us today. And he was a man who was fixated on knowing the will of God for his life. not just in the big things, but in the everyday issues of life. So there are three things that George Mueller came to the conclusion of. I've taken those three things and put them into 3 points, and you're going to be amazed. They're all alliterated. Okay, I know that that's a Baptist thing to do, but that's what we've done tonight. And we're going to adapt those principles that he took from the Word of God. I want to give them to you tonight. I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn, holding your place in Genesis 24, to Psalm 119. You're going to help me read some scripture tonight, so get ready for that this evening. Psalm 119, verse 105. The very first thing when we are asking God to give us wisdom about the next step, asking God to give us wisdom about what should I do in this situation, asking God to reveal to us what is his perfect will in every area of our life, the very first thing that I believe a believer needs to do is he needs to secure principles from Scripture. Principles from Scripture. Folks, let me just say to you tonight, I know you find your place in Scripture this evening, but think with me and listen to me as I say this. If you can multitask and listen to two things at once. Learn to take the Bible to heart and to use it in your life. Learn to apply the Scriptures to your situations. God did not give us this book for our information. He gave it to us for our transformation. And that means that every area of our life needs to be permeated with the truth of Scripture. Now, how many of you know this tonight, that it is not recorded word for word in Scripture how you are to make every decision of your life? In other words, I did not know, based on Scripture, word for word, that it was God's will that I would marry my wife. But I knew by the principles of Scripture that God had given me peace, that that was the appropriate path to pursue. And we're going to talk about how that is tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, find your place there, and then read out loud with me this one verse that you probably have memorized. Psalm 119, 105, ready, begin. Thy word is a lamp. Let's do it one more time. Here we go. Ready? Thy word. Very simply put, and to summarize what the Scripture is saying is this, that in the Bible you will always find enough light for the next step. You will always find enough light for the next step. The Bible should be the immediate pursuit of our heart when it comes to making a decision. I'm talking about, God, do you want me to take that job? God, do you want me to make that move? God, do you want me to pursue this relationship? God, do you want me to pursue this particular venture in my life? God, if you want me to do this, God, do you want me to surrender to ministry? Do you want me to surrender to be a pastor or a preacher for young men? Do you want me to surrender to full-time Christian work? I know that this is a Sunday night crowd, but God is still calling people. And by the way, he doesn't just call people at youth conferences. Okay? When we do this, we've got to learn to take the Word of God and to read it until God speaks to us. How do we do this? I believe you should ask God to show you a verse or show you a passage of Scripture that he clearly wants you to apply to your situation. A name that some of you would know and many of you would not, Brother Jack Hiles, pastored up in Hammond, Indiana, and now a couple pastors later is Brother John Wilkerson. Brother Wilkerson is the father-in-law of the youth pastor and the father of his wife that we're bringing here to Evansville, Indiana, here in just about a month or so. 1st of October, Lord willing, is when they'll be here. Dr. Hiles claimed this verse and believed that God gave this to him in Psalm 2:8. He said, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." He said, I believe God wants me to be focused on winning souls and to win the Chicagoland area to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned praying Hyde this morning, praying John Hyde, missionary to India. Many times as he prayed, he would be impressed in his heart to claim passages of Scripture for the particular situation at hand. At one point, in his prayer life, God seared in his mind. It said in the book that was written about him that I referenced this morning, God had burned into the walls of his mind, Isaiah 6, 62, 6 and 7. He says, "I have set a watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." And that last part that says, and give him no rest, give God no rest from your prayers until he establish and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That was something that he said God impressed so strongly, though it applied specifically to the people of Jerusalem in that time. God had used that in his life to say, this is how I want you to pursue your prayer life. There was a time when he became very sick, became very ill. He spent a lot of time in that period of sickness and illness, praying and seeking God. And it became apparent to him, and he realized that even prior to that illness, he had been praying and repeating in prayer the prayer of Jabez, which says, enlarge my coast and let thine hand be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil and not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And what he realized was God was using that passage of scripture to help him understand the reason for his sickness had been, quote, to turn his soul more carefully to heavenly things. What we need to do in our life is say, God, give me a word from the Word. You say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Let me ask you a question, and it's a simple question. You're going to say, Pastor, you're trying to ambush me with this question. I'm not expecting to answer it out loud. But when you're trying to make a big decision, you have a lot weighing on you. How much of this have you read? I heard of one preacher said anytime he had a big decision to make, he would read no less than 20 chapters of Scripture a day. And while you read the Scripture, God and His Holy Spirit are going to be there with you, showing you, that's what I want for you. That is what I want you to take as a promise from me to you for your situation. If we cannot use the Word of God in our lives and in the decisions that we make, then I don't see what good it would be. We are called to do that. For me, in my life, it was the passage I preached a few weeks ago, 2 Chronicles 20. I told you it's my anchor passage. And in that passage, God says this, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And over and over and over again, God has used that in my life to teach me to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord. Specifically, though, God used that at a time in my life, in my early 20s, before I was married, when I needed an anchor, I needed to be grounded, and God used that to keep me in His perfect will. Turn to Psalm 119, 165, if you would. You're already in Psalm 119 unless you've lost your place there. I want you to see this because this applies so much to what we have here to discuss this evening. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We like to quote that verse when people get offended and say, oh, you don't love the law of God because you're offended. Okay, hold on. Let's just calm down for a minute. Let's take Scripture within context if we could. Are you with me this evening? Okay. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What happens, I'm convinced, what happens is this, is that we go to make big decisions. We do it without the Lord. Things don't turn out. Our lives suffer because of it. And somehow we get hurt. When in fact we should have sought the face of God from the very beginning. So great peace have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which say of the Word of God, this is my constant guide. This is my constant counselor. This is God's Word to me. And when you love the Word of God, it brings a peace that passes all understanding for your life. So here's the principle tonight when it comes to the Word of God. Go find a verse. I'm not suggesting you take the Bible out of context. Please understand that tonight. But go find what the Word of God says. Hey, I can tell you what I think, but I'm very careful when people come and say, well, Pastor, we're struggling with this decision. What should we do? I try never to tell them what I think they should do, but how they can find what God thinks they should do. The Bible says we should know the mind of Christ. We cannot know the mind of Christ apart from His Word. And you have got to get in the Word and say, God, give me something for me. Tell me what you want me to know for this time in my life, this situation in my life, this struggle that I'm going through, this particular thing. God, you have got to guide me, and I'm not leaving the Word of God until you do. Number one, principles in Scripture. If you want to know a green light, if you want to see a green light from God, you've got to find a principle in the Word of God. Number two tonight. Not only should there be principles from Scripture, there should also be peace through supplication and prayer. Peace through supplication and prayer. Turn to James chapter 1, if you would. James chapter 1. We're going to read there verses 5 through 7. And while you're turning there, I'd like to read to you Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Be worried for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You have a big decision to make. You've got a big problem in your life. You've got something that you know that God is dealing with you on, but you don't have wisdom in that area. We need to go to God in prayer. We need to go to God and pray the hardest when it's the hardest to pray, as the Talbert sang about just a few moments ago. James chapter 1, it says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, say the next phrase with me to the comma, ready? Let him ask of God. Now notice the response that God gives us. It says he giveth to all men liberally. That means in abundance. He giveth to all men liberally. He upbraideth not. He doesn't look at you and say, don't you know the answer to that? How could you be so foolish? Okay, I'll tell you, but he upbraideth not. And the Bible says, and it shall, notice the promise, and it shall be given him. Wow. So if I don't have wisdom on something and I go to God, then my God, who is able to give to me in abundance and doesn't ridicule me for my request, the Bible says, is able to do all of that, and it shall be given him. Now notice what it says this. But let him ask in, what's that word? Faith. Let him ask in what? Faith. Notice this. Let's follow on. Here's where it is. This is the crux of the matter. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. You know what that sounds to me like? Sounds like peace. It sounds like the peace of God. When God gives you something, and he gives it to you in prayer, and he gives it to you through his word, we don't need to waver on that word that God has given to us. It says, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I hesitate to say this because I'm not thinking of anyone in our church or specifically, so just know that. Know that by just virtue of how I want to qualify my statement. But I've seen people who they're here and then they're there and then they're here and then they're there and then they're here and then they're there. And it's not because God has them all over the place. It's because they have themselves all over the place. They're not grounded in the word, and they're certainly not grounded in prayer. Well, I think I'm going to do this. Then I think I'm going to do this. No, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God says if we ask him in faith, nothing wavering, he will give us that wisdom that we need. But if we don't have faith and we ask, but he knows what our response will be, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Can I tell you something? You need to go to God first of all, and you need to empty yourself of you before you ever ask him for what you need. God is able through supplication and intercession to give you peace about your decisions. Now, let me caution you about this. When you are praying for peace through the Spirit of God in your prayer life, it must be accompanied with a strict adherence to the Word of God. Did you hear me tonight? George Mueller said this about that. He said, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with God's Word. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Spirit guides us, he will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. You say, well, how do I seek the peace of God in prayer? And the answer is that in prayer, take the opportunity, first of all, before we ever ask, take the opportunity to completely yield your will to the Lord. That's so important. That's so important. If you want God to give you peace in your prayer time, or if you're asking him to give you peace about a situation and you want that so desperately, you want the Spirit of God to speak to you so clearly on something, then the first item of business is always to say, God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Many times we go into the prayer closet with our will so strong, and God does nothing with that will. God does nothing with that request. Because we're not asking in faith, we're asking out of our own lust. The Bible even says that in the book of James, where the text for this point is, that we ask amiss to consume it upon our lust. We ask for what we want, not for what God wants. George Mueller in lining this out. He said, I always seek to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in any given matter. When we're ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be, 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome. Did you hear that? A man who got 30,000 answers to prayer plus said that 90% of our prayer time has to do with yielding our will to God. 90% of what God wants to do in your heart and your life has to do with you saying, okay, God, I'm yours. Jesus even did this. Is not Christ our greatest example? Jesus said in Matthew 26, nevertheless, not as I will. Who was he talking to? Somebody answer me. Who was he talking to? His Father. Nevertheless, not as I will, Father, but as thou wilt. The priority of your prayer time when seeking for the peace of God is to seek to make yourself fully surrendered to Him. And that's when God can send peace. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. You know what I find is that the hardest thing about prayer, the hardest thing is completely and thoroughly emptying myself of me. I don't mean this sarcastically. You may chuckle, that's fine, but I'm so full of myself. I am so full of me. We are so full of our own will that it requires the child of God to come under a submission to God in great quality, if you will. That means thorough. And say, God, I'm yours. By the way, about prayer, can I tell you something real exciting about prayer? Because the idea of going in and just crushing your will, that sounds a little depressing, doesn't it? But here's something exciting about prayer. Whenever we pray, and we pray in the will of God, and we pray in submission to God, and we fully yield ourselves to God, whenever we do that, we can operate then under the assumption, the true assumption, that God wants to answer our prayer. God wants to bless us in our prayer time. Psalm 81 verse 10 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Whenever we come to God and we say, God, I just can't help but imagine, by the way, when I read that verse, I can't help but imagine a mother bird with her little nest of freshly hatched little birds and coming back with that delicious worm. Isn't that sounding delicious to you tonight? If you've ever seen it, I've seen it, you've seen it, I know we have. I mean, those birds, I'm not going to demonstrate for you, but their mouths are open wide. And the Bible says, I'm the Lord thy God. I delivered you out of Egypt. He said, for us, the application is this. He delivered us from the world. He delivered us from the flesh and the devil. He saved us if we've called upon him for salvation. He said, if you're my child, he said, open your mouth wide. I've got plenty to put in it. The New Testament, Jesus said this. He said, look, if your father, your earthly father, wants to give you good things, don't you think your heavenly father wants to give you even greater things? Isn't it the book of James that says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning? Hey, we serve a God who wants to answer our prayers. Amen. I'll say it if you won't. God wants to answer your prayer. And that's the way we have to operate. That's the assumption under which we must operate. Lastly, and let's go back to our text, Genesis 24. Principles from Scripture. That's it. That's first one. That's stop one, by the way. Stop number one. That's the first stop. Peace through prayer or supplication. But number three, green light from God. Providential circumstances. Providential circumstances. God said to his church in Philadelphia, he said, these things saith he that is holy. He's talking about himself. He that is true. He that hath the keys of David. And then he said, he that openeth and no man shutteth. And shutteth and no man openeth. The very next verse he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. An open door. Providential circumstances. Abraham's servant in Genesis 24, is sent on a mission from his master. He says, we need to get Isaac a wife. And Isaac's wife can't just be any wife, because she can't be from the people of who are idolaters. She can't be someone who doesn't serve the Lord God. She can't be of that ilk. And so he traveled, and the Bible says he came up upon a well, and he stopped. And if you go back in the text and look at verse 10, the Bible says the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, here's his prayer, "Oh, Lord God of my master, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let that same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." So pause for a moment. Let's see what's happening here. The servant comes, and he says, I promised Abraham I'm not going to come back empty-handed. Here we are. The daughters of the men are going to come out. They're going to draw water soon. And he says, I'm going to ask them to give me to drink. And Lord, I pray you that only one of them would have this response. Yes, let me draw for you to drink, and I'll also draw drink for your camels also. That was his prayer. That was his fleece, if you will. That was his request. God, show me by providentially sending this person here in this way, and provide this open door for me to be able to go through. And the Bible says that God did that. In verse 27, he said, I being in the way, God led me. Now, the text is this, I being in the way, God led me. Can I tell you something? The Bible says that God is he who opens and no man can shut. If God gives you an open door, no one can shut it. As best I can tell, the only one who can mess things up is the one for whom God opens the door who refuses to go through it. He refuses to go through it. Not every door is an open door. Open doors from God, number one, will never contradict his word. They'll never contradict his word. Open doors from God often come with confirmation from more than one or two people, godly people. Open doors from God will require you in every situation, no matter how wide open the door is, open doors will always require you to depend on him. When we, and I know last week we talked a lot about this because it was Faithway Day, but when we moved over here, there was a point at which we thought we'd get this property for much less. And we said, that'd be great, because then it would be like a trade. I mean, just virtually no sacrifice on our end, just a swap. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome, we thought. It became apparent, and I say this because I'm convinced of it in my own mind, that we weren't going to get it for that price, but that we had to increase that offer. It was still an open door. It was still something that God had laid out for us. I don't think anyone doubts that. But it required us to depend on him. It required a church of about 240 people, I guess. A good church, wonderful sized church. Honestly, in today's world, we look at churches and think, well, churches of 1,000, churches of 2,000, those are big churches. But you go look at the statistics, we're a big church. It's amazing what God's doing here. It required us to depend on him, because we said, you remember what I said last week, we didn't have any money. We didn't have that. We didn't have the $200,000 that we needed to come up with to make a down payment. But you know, God did. And he asked us to go through the door so that he could provide. He didn't provide so that we could go through it. That's what faith is. That's where God has been dealing with me. I shared that with our class this morning on faith. Faith is advanced obedience. Faith is taking the word of God and understanding this is what it says, therefore I'll do it, I'll obey it, and let God work out the details. Open doors always require you to depend on him. It's an interesting thing. George Mueller's conclusion was this, and I understand I'm not trying to preach the doctrine of men tonight, but it's a great thing for us to take it, because it's usable. I think anyone can take these three thoughts, principles from Scripture, peace and supplication, and providential circumstances. You can take all three of these and take them and say, okay, God, I think I have a course that I can chart now. I think I can see how I can go forward, even though I don't know what the answer is yet. I know where I need to focus my energy. I know where I need to focus my attention. He said this, essentially, that anytime all three are there, you can know it's God's will. God's clear. God has provided peace through prayer, principles from Scripture, and providential circumstances. But it was also said that usually when two of them are present, God's probably in it. But when only one is there, it's usually time to wait on the Lord. That is so practical for me. And you know, I'm glad George Mueller came up with that. He didn't come up with that. Because that's exactly what I've believed ever since I've seen God come through for me on numerous occasions. Is that God always confirms His will. It's an amazing thing to think that God is not hiding His will from us. It's not a secret. God is not saying, I have this will for you, it's wonderful, it's great, but you're not allowed to see it. God says, no, I want you to know what it is, but you need to get in my word. You need to be on your knees. You need to be looking for the open door, the door that I have opened and no man can shut, that when I shut, no man can open. And you need to pray that God will set that before you. That's just a practical thing for us tonight, but I wonder maybe if God didn't have it for us this evening because there's someone or some ones or many people perhaps who are contemplating next steps. I don't know what that would mean. I'm not in any way trying to discern what that could mean right now. But when you're looking for God to guide you, whether in the monumental decisions of life or the trivial, everyday, little things, the principles remain the same. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me tonight and consider that God may have you here tonight to hear this instruction from His Word so that you can apply it to your life. If that's you this evening, in a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And we want you to come and we want you to take opportunity to take time in prayer and just say, God, if this is what you have for me, if this is what you want for me, show me, lead me. God impressed on my heart to talk about this several days ago. I don't know who it's for tonight. I maybe know of a couple people who have some decisions to make, and that's certainly the case. But God's got to be in it, and if He's not, you're going to want to know. Great peace have they which love thy law. Have you given attention to the word of God? When in everything by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known to God. Have you brought that before the Lord and said, God, can I glorify you in this if I go this way or this way? And then would you pray, God, would you open a door for me to show me what it is you want me to do, where it is you want me to go? How many of you just say, by testimony of an upraised hand, Pastor, God spoke to me through that sermon tonight. God used that in my life. Would you just lift your hands so